The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for professional medical advice. Sweaty and pissed, sweaty and pissed.
Menopause makes me sweaty and pissed. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
This is Leanne and
Karen.
Brilliant Karen. Sweaty and pissed, menopause and more. Mm-hmm. Thank y'all for listening.
Yes, we really appreciate your listening and all your comments on Facebook.
I know, sweet.
We have a lot of people following us on Facebook. That's nice.
I know.
A lot of neat input from people, questions from people.
Precious. And I'm out on the road, and I cannot tell you how many people say, we love Sweaty and Pissed. We love Karen. Tell Karen we love her. I know. People really, they really do. Oh. People tell me all the time, tell Karen we love her.
Oh, that's
I
sweet.
Know. A lot of women fanning in an audience. A lot of fanning. A lot of, wearing a tank top, sleeveless. Yeah. Everybody's hot. Everybody's got a hormonal balance.
Yeah. We need to have a little handheld fan that has our logo on it or something.
Sweaty and pissed. Mm-hmm. I know.
That'd be a good one.
I know that would be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I apologize to the audiences that I named that pissed because that's kind of a cuss word in Tennessee.
Oh.
My mama hates it.
Oh, really?
And I grew up with that kind of being really a bad word. And then, my daughter, who's 21, said, when we were trying to figure out what to name it. She goes, why don't you call it sweaty and pissed, Mom? Because you're sweaty and pissed all the time. And I was like, well, okay. And I
Thank
just
you,
went with it.
Darling. So that,
I know, but no, she was right.
Good.
I know. And I want to say real quick, as I'm sweaty and pissed, I'm not pissed. I'm very grateful, and I'm tickled, and I feel like I have gratitude.
Okay. Sweaty and gratitude.
But when you do have those hot flashes, it makes you irritated.
Yeah.
And, they come and go.
They're fast.
I'll go through and I won't have them.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then all of a sudden they come back on you but I'm being compliant.
Is that
helping? I'm being compliant. But I accidentally left my estrogen cream at home. Oops. On my vanity. And I think that's what, but I'm back on it because I was out on the road and I wasn't putting my estrogen cream on.
Yeah.
And I got to where I didn't have a full blown, but I would heat up. And then I would get cold, and then I'd heat up. So I think that estrogen cream is a big deal for that.
Yeah, that's what that's for.
And I swear I'm being compliant. I got everything in Ziploc bags. I throw it in a suitcase, and then I may not need as big a suitcase. So then I put it in a different suitcase. And I'm just very unorganized right now. Because that I'm traveling a lot, and I'm going to help with my mom, who's still sick. So
it's a lot of juggling.
Yeah, so my estrogen cream got left out. It will not again.
Dang.
I know. Yeah. And I've got my vitamin D under the tongue, 1,000 IUs.
And you do that every day?
Yes. And so, so we're going to talk today about vitamin D, because everybody's walking around with no vitamin D.
None.
Well, it's a crisis.
It's a crisis. An unrecognized crisis. Well, a lot of guidelines say that providers don't have to check vitamin D as a screening tool. But I do check vitamin D on everyone because I have seen over and over and over again that most people I see are deficient or insufficient levels. And vitamin D is so important for your immune system health, your neuromuscular health, your breast health, in addition to bone health. I mean, we typically think about vitamin D to help bones, but it helps all those other pieces too. And it can help mood. I do have some people who, when they take vitamin D, it's like the absolute missing piece, and they feel fabulous after they start vitamin D. But that's one of the reasons we tend to have things like seasonal affective disorder, where in the wintertime we have more depression because our vitamin D levels go way down. Northern places like the Northeast and Canada, and when they've measured levels on people who live in those northern climes, they go down to almost nothing. So,
well, you know, when you checked all my kids and mm-hmm. Chuck, and my son is a big outdoorsman.
Mm-hmm.
He had enough vitamin D,
mm-hmm.
but he's outside all the time.
Yeah.
And my girls were low
mm-hmm.
and I was low.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Chuck. He doesn't tell me anything.
Well, I can't tell you.
I know you can't. Pump that vitamin D in him so yeah. he'll be in a good mood. Even though he plays a lot of tennis and he's inside. Yeah. But
oh, that's inside tennis?
That's inside tennis. Yeah. He's on a league. Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, he's not outside like Charlie.
Well, there are a couple of things. I mean, one is most of us are being conscientious about avoiding skin cancer, which is great, so we use sunscreen, but then we don't have that good conversion of vitamin D in our skin when we use sunscreen. That's number one. And number two, as we age, our ability to make that conversion in our skin lessens. So we are not able to create the vitamin D as readily as when we're younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And So
I can't sit out in a bikini top.
Well, you can.
Sure, you can. Without sunscreen on.
Well, here's the thing.
What would you say?
Well, now this is a case by case basis, and I'm not going to talk about your personal medical history, but your personal medical history.
I had a melanoma when I was 21 at the University of Tennessee. I was in college, and I had a melanoma, and I had on a bikini, and I was sitting out at a pool with someone who I wouldn't wipe my feet on now. And he saved my life. He said,
yeah.
That doesn't look right. And I had a melanoma. I know. And what was that doctor's name? He saved a lot of people in Knoxville. But anyway, he said that when I got in there, he said, there was another 20-year-old and 30-year-old that he goes there, it's not good. Mm-hmm. And he said, you cannot be out in the sun anymore. So people say to me all the time, they go, your skin looks beautiful. And I think, thank you. It's because I don't think I've had the sun damage that a lot of people mm-hmm. have because mm-hmm. I got scared to death. Then I worked for a clinic when I was right after that, and they wanted you to be in a white coat and no tan. We all look like death. But but that company did not want anybody to have a spray tan, nothing. And so I just didn't have a lot of sun damage for years.
Porcelain yeah. looking.
And so, you know, sitting out with my kids playing soccer and everything, I have always,
so, taken care of myself. You know, when I'm seeing a patient and making recommendations, I would take that into consideration. The fact that you've had a melanoma, I wouldn't say, well, you should sit in the sun for 30 minutes every day because that's how long you need to sit in the sun
get
30 minutes every day. I wouldn't say that to you. I would say, sorry.
Okay. Still, but for most sun, people who've had a melanoma, could they sit out?
You can get, if you're out 30 minutes a day in the sun, that will help, again, without sunscreen. That will help with vitamin D production. The reasons people can have vitamin D deficiency include the fact that they're not outside. Say you have a homebound person who just never goes outside. They're at risk. If you have malabsorption issues, like you have IBS or Crohn's or inflammatory bowel disease, and you don't absorb things well because your bowel's all inflamed, those people are at risk. If you've had gastric bypass and your stomach is much, much smaller than it once mm-hmm. was, that also is a malabsorption problem. So that will cause can cause deficiency or insufficiency. Kidney and liver disease can cause problems with vitamin D levels. And of course, then dietary intake. If people who don't take in much vitamin D. And, you know, since we have fortified foods now, like milk, you know, that has vitamin D in it, that's one source, because there aren't a lot of sources of vitamin D in our food. Fatty fish have vitamin D. Eggs have some vitamin D. So cod liver oil has vitamin D.
Who's going to do that?
Well, but you know, back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, I know my people. It was always.
It's like you had to have your cod liver oil every day. And that was giving people
vitamin
D.
So what about green leafy vegetables? Or that does not have it?
No, because it's a lipophilic vitamin and lipid soluble. And so you're going to find it in fatty foods like fatty fish or eggs.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're deficient in vitamin D, you can't eat enough fatty fish.
You've got to have a supplement. Yeah. You've got to have something.
Yeah. And if your vitamin D levels are low, vitamin D helps us take calcium up into the bone, and it also helps regulate our parathyroid hormone and how it secretes its hormone. So if you have low levels of vitamin D, the parathyroid gland becomes more active and secretes more parathyroid hormone, which causes calcium to be pulled from the bone into the blood. So low vitamin D can cause your parathyroid gland to start this process that will actually pull calcium from your bones.
Which then causes what? Is that osteoporosis?
Like osteoporosis, osteopenia, osteoporosis, bone loss. So calcium and vitamin D are very tied together.
So what about, is that when it says vitamin D3?
Yeah, so we have vitamin D3 and we have vitamin D2. And vitamin D2 is more, it actually is plant-based. Vitamin D3 is what we produce in the skin. So vitamin D3 is really a better option. It will get your blood levels up higher than vitamin D2. And vitamin D2 is often the one that is prescribed, the 50,000 IUs once a week. Most of the time it's dosed once a week. So that's called ergocalciferol. And it's, so that prescription form, most of the vitamin D's you're going to see over the counter are going to be vitamin D3. But there is a prescription vitamin D2.
And did you think about putting me on that, but then you thought she's in brain fog and doesn't have the sense to take it? That would be, you know.
Once a week, you mean?
Yeah, I think you talked about it at one time.
Well, because some people like having a once a week dose. They do better once a week. But then I have other people say to me, I can't do that because I'll never forget. I'll never remember it if I don't take it every day. So again, you have to know your patient and talk to your patient. If you, you know, are you likely to remember to take this once a week? And if they say no,
and that sounds crazy that we can't, but
but if you're taking other things and you're taking it every other day, it would involve getting a pill box.
Yeah.
And you just throw the vitamin D in there once a week. But again, that prescription, most prescription things that are available are vitamin D2. But you can get a vitamin D3 50,000 IU cap.
50,000 IUs.
Mm-hmm. And again, once we usually dose it once a week. Sometimes people have to have it twice a week. Some providers will dose it so that you are on that high dose for a couple months, and then go to a daily over-the-counter dose of like 2,000 IUs or 1,000 IUs.
So what about, like, if you went to one of these big box stores and got, you know, 1,000 IUs of D3?
Yeah. If you
is
don't,
that good?
If you don't know your level, if you don't know your serum level, your blood level, typically what's recommended is 800 to 1,000 IUs a day. You know, I wouldn't start 5,000 IUs a day if I didn't know where I sat. Because vitamin D is a lipid-soluble vitamin, you can get vitamin D toxicity. And so we don't want levels too high.
No, we don't. What is that? What happens to you if that?
Well, some people just, they feel poorly because it causes high levels of calcium in your blood, and people feel real poor, you know, just ache and tired and can't think straight. So you don't want to, we want to keep it in a good range. And so it's, that's why if you're on vitamin D replacement, it's always good to have that checked to make sure you haven't taken too much. And typically when we start someone on vitamin D, especially like a high dose vitamin D, we have them back in, you know, about 3 or 4 months and recheck it.
What about, you know, we've talked about the Patch MD.
Mm-hmm.
They have a vitamin D3.
Yeah.
Are you finding, have you tested anybody to see how that?
I've tested two or three people, not very many, two or three people, and it has raised their levels. I was, you know, frankly, I didn't really know exactly what to expect, how well it would do, but it.
For vitamin D3?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what is that? Do you remember what that dosage was on Patch MD? Is it like 1,000 IUs?
I think it was 5,000. I think it was 5,000. But it also has calcium, too. It's a calcium vitamin D3 patch. Yeah, I brought it up.
Because that patch is unbelievable. You know, all those, I tell people about those all the time. I mean, yeah. You just put a patch on.
Yeah. Yeah. So Leanne's talking about the Patch MD website that has patch form of a lot of different supplements, and they do have a calcium vitamin D3 patch. So if you can't tolerate a pill or can't swallow a pill, or I've had a few people who get nausea when they take vitamin D, probably because of the oil, I would think. But so if you have GI symptoms when you take vitamin D3, or you just can't remember,
what could those GI symptoms be? Constipation or the other?
Other.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that it may be.
And mostly, again, although you have to take a lot of oil-based supplements to really cause diarrhea, but like some people who are taking a lot of fish oil caps, for instance, can have diarrhea. Yeah.
Okay. So, but this Patch MD,
yeah,
they've got menopause for morning, menopause night. They've got
PMS.
Anti-aging, brain fog. I mean, ADHD.
Anti-inflammatory.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I would sit and have patches all over me. But you can only wear like 4 at a time. I think it was three.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a melatonin one for at nighttime. Yep. And
so it's a good option for a lot of people.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
And they started it because of bariatric.
Right. They originally did a patch for people who had bariatric surgery. So, because again, the absorption issues, you know, when your stomach's as big as my thumb, you know, it's.
Yeah.
And those vitamin packs that they take are a lot of vitamins.
Yeah.
So the patch they have for bariatric replacement is a little more involved. I think there are 2 or 3 patches that you're supposed to use. Yeah. So
what else? So about vitamin D3, yes. You can just go into your provider, mm-hmm, and when you do have your physical, you just say, will you check my vitamin D?
Right. You can ask for that. Hopefully they will do that for you. Because other things that can lower vitamin D include, again, we talked about the sunscreen and not going out, but also if you're real dark skinned, we don't have as much synthesis of vitamin D. Cirrhosis of the liver will cause low vitamin D. We talked about that, kidney and liver. One thing I did want to mention, a lot of anticonvulsants like phenytoin, you know, anti-seizure medicines will decrease your vitamin D level. So somebody who's on phenytoin needs to be checked for vitamin D. So, yes. It's really important. I think, like I said, I do have some people who, when they start vitamin D, they really feel a lot better. I would say most people don't notice a big difference, but it does so many things, so many important functions in our body that it's important to make sure it's a healthy level.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I think I've covered all that that we need to talk about.
I brush my teeth. I do my vitamin D drop under my tongue, and then I put my conditioning on my mascara, on my eyelash, trying to grow some eyelashes.
Oh.
So I do all those things, and I feel like if I've got a routine, I keep it up. Yeah, you know,
that's
so
interesting little package there.
Well, my
don't know how those are related, but I'm glad that.
Well, you know, at night, brush your teeth. Yeah, then put the because the vitamin D, you can't eat anything or drink anything if you do it under your tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just try to absorb that while, and then so then I think, oh, I'll put on so I can grow some eyelashes because my eyelashes are gone. My lips have sucked into my body, and they're dry, and my eyelashes fell out, and my eyebrows, you know, and you can put that stuff on your eyebrows.
How's your hair doing?
Good.
It looks good.
Does it to you? Thank you. I know this is a little, if I had somebody professionally blow my hair out, I would look like I'm in more hair. But no, I think, you know,
it's been good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Everything's going pretty good, girl.
Good. That's great.
I mean, I'm tired, and I get lonely in a hotel room, and I feel like Elvis when he used to put aluminum foil into the windows, and I hope I don't shoot off a gun in the hotel room. But I feel good. I mean, I'm really trying to do good habits and do, you know, I feel like you're in my ear. I mean, I feel like I'll be out.
Poor
what would Karen eat? She would eat green leafy vegetables.
That's right.
A spinach salad with maybe a slice of egg with a vinaigrette. You know, I try to think about what would you do? And I'm trying to move every day. And I'm trying to be compliant with all these vitamins and all this stuff, these creams and my thighs and all I'm doing. But I'm so thankful for them.
I know.
I've got you.
Well, I'm thankful I've got you.
Oh, my darling. I know that I just come in there and disrupt y'all's day. I love their
office.
Oh,
everybody loves you.
Oh, you angel. If I were a pharmaceutical salesperson, I'd bring food in there and talk all day. Is that what they do?
Well, they bring food, but they can't talk all day.
They can't.
No.
Does everybody want to get to you?
Well, about get to me. I see a lot of reps every day.
What's everybody repping? Antidepressants? Is everybody depressed?
Oh, a little bit of that. Constipation, depression.
Everybody's constipated.
Yeah, a lot of constipation.
Wonder this our diet.
I think that's it. And diet, our hydration status, again, exercise, our fiber intake, that makes all the difference.
So, oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a good one. We always end on me being constipated. Okay.
We know we're at the end of the podcast when you bring up constipation.
Yeah. Well, that's a big deal.
I know it is a big deal.
You can't poop.
Yes. Thanks to Forrest. Sorry, I interrupted you. Thanks to Forrest Winsel for our production and our theme music, and Stephen Brown for our artwork. Yeah. And you for being you.
Oh, my darling. Honey, and you for being you and paying attention in school. Thank God for you. All right. We'll see you next time.
Absolutely.